And now I invite you to please pray with me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Bring conviction to our hearts through the living word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your name, King Jesus. Amen. Now I'm approaching the 11th anniversary of our move to Jacksonville. And during those 11 years, I've experienced what I remember to be three significant storms. Tropical Storm Fay, which happened during our first or our second year here. And then, in the last few years, Hurricane Matthew and Hurricane Irma. And during the most recent storms, I realized and participated in a social media trend, which is a stunner because I don't spend a lot of time on social media, nor do I understand it. But this was a trend where users were invited to declare to the world, "I am safe." Now, how many of you marked yourselves safe during one of the last two storms on social media? So there are more than a few. Now, this wasn't a question, "Are you safe?" or an answer to someone else's question, but it was a declaration, "I am safe," a definitive statement to your extended social media community and friends, answering the question, "How are you?" It was a pronouncement of your state of being after the storm. "I'm not lost, I'm okay." It was not a pronouncement regarding your house or your car or your trees or your yard, but it was of you and your being. It was a declaration, "I am safe." Now today, our scripture demands a similar answer, but it's an answer to a different question. The question isn't, "Are you safe?" But the question this morning is, "Are you blessed?" I invite you now to pick up your blue Bibles from the pew racks in front of you or under your seats if you're in the front row. Turn to Luke chapter 6. Or if you have your own Bibles or if you're on your cell phones for your Bibles, go to Luke 6, beginning with verse 20. It's on page 862 of the blue pew Bibles. I want us all there together because we're going to read verses 20 and 21 together. Okay, you ready? Together. "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh.'" Now stop there. In this historical narrative, Jesus makes a similar pronouncement regarding his followers, but he doesn't declare that they're safe. He declares to his disciples as they follow him that they are blessed. Not blessed, but they are blessed. Now there are two different words in the original Greek language for blessing. The first is eulogio, which carries the sense of a desire or a request or a wish. "Please bless me. Bless the sick. May the Lord bless you and keep you." And that's not the word used in this passage that Luke uses. Luke instead records Jesus' words with the Greek word makarios, which is compared with a request or with a wish. It declares an existing state of being. Jesus does not say, "Blessed are those who do X, because if they do that, then they receive Y." It's not conditional. Jesus declares, "Look at my followers. See the joy of these who possess Y, or who have been given Y, or who shall have Y." Makarios, translated blessed, affirms a quality of spirituality that's already present in his followers, in those who believe in him. In the same way that "I am safe" affirms a person's existing state of being, makarios affirms a person's existing state of being in Christ, affirming qualities they possess. Jesus declares four truths here about his disciples. And they start with verse 20, where Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor. You are blessed, you who are poor, because of me. Because in me you possess the kingdom of God." Now, as you're looking at that scripture, you may be thinking, hold on, Bill, where did the "because of me" come from? That's not there. Well, scholars point out that the context of the disciples' poverty, if not its cause, was that they were disciples of Jesus. They had left behind their livelihoods, all that they knew, and they were now following Jesus. They were his disciples. And thus, they would be suffering poverty and hunger and weeping, and they would be persecuted as they followed him. So verse 21, Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are hungry." You are blessed, Jesus proclaims, you who are hungry because of me, because in me you will be satisfied. You are blessed, you who weep because of me, because in me you will have laughter and you will have joy. And in the fourth statement, verse 22, we find the confirmation of the "because of me" clause. Take a look at verse 22. "Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man." You are blessed when people hate, exclude, revile you, and call you evil on account of me, Jesus says, because of me. And then he goes on to say, because in me you have great reward in heaven. This is a grand proclamation by Jesus declaring what his followers possess as they believe in him. Now, we don't have time this morning to unpack all four statements. We're going to take a look at verse 20 with the first declaration of Jesus. You are blessed, you who are poor. Now, what's the picture that you think of when you think of poor? You may be picturing material poverty or a physical condition, lacking of money or of food or of safe or adequate shelter. You may be thinking of people lacking hygiene or cleanliness, a place to shower. Now, while physical poverty is definitely in view here, it's not the only poverty that Jesus is addressing. He also is pointing to spiritual poverty. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and turn back one page, the top of page 860, where you see Jesus fulfilling, declaring, reading from Isaiah and fulfilling it. So verse 18, I want us to read together that first sentence in verse 18. Ready? Together. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." In the Hebrew, the word translated "poor" literally means the afflicted or the needy or the humble. The Hebrew word there, anav, does speak to the physically poor, but it also speaks to the spiritually needy, the spiritually humble. Jesus, fulfilling the role of Messiah, declares he's fulfilling this passage. He declares, "I bring good news, I bring salvation, and I bring new life to those who are poor in spirit," to say it another way, who are humble spiritually, who are aware of their need for their Lord, their need for forgiveness, their need for his restoration in their lives, their need to remain dependent upon him. Now, going back to our scripture, verse 20, Jesus declares, "You are blessed, you who are poor and humble in spirit, you who are aware of your need and your dependence on the Lord, because You possess the kingdom of God. Because you possess, you shall be satisfied. You possess his satisfaction. You shall be filled with joy, Jesus declares. He says, you are blessed as you believe in me, because in me you lack nothing. Do you hear that, church? Do you hear the good news and the promise from the words of the Messiah? Jesus asserts, if you believe in him, then you are these things. You may be poor in spirit, you may weep, you may be hungry, but in him, you have all that you need. You are blessed. And Jesus goes on to say, you're blessed in comparison with the outsiders. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, this reminder from Scripture is powerful. I need to hear it because I spend too much time anxious and worried or upset or frustrated or angry, not remembering that I am blessed. I need to hear this. Now, I mentioned that Jesus said, you are blessed in comparison with outsiders. Luke records Jesus' declaration in a very Jewish way, using step parallelism, a rhetorical tool. Now, if you're like me, you're not an English major. What's that mean? He links together four positive statements with four corresponding negatives to make his point, with the climax in the middle. Luke intends for his audience to hear two things as he records it this way. He wants you to hear two things in Jesus' words. How you are blessed in Christ, and in comparison, how those who are not blessed are lacking. All right, you got your Bibles open. So let's read the second half of verse 20. We're just going to read that one sentence together. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Now skip to verse 24. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Do you see how that's the direct answer to the first promise? Now go back to verse 21, reading that first sentence. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Now skip to verse 25. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. There's the answer. Now go back to the second half of verse 21. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. And to the second part of 25. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Jesus here declares a clear advantage for those who are blessed, for those who believe in him, and for those who follow him over those who do not. The materially rich, those fully satisfied, those who are always merry, those who are not aware of their spiritual need because of their lifestyle or because of their choices. Jesus makes it clear they miss out on what Jesus gives freely to those who believe in him. They miss out on being blessed. One scholar put it this way, and here's the quote. The rich, the satisfied, the comfortable are easily ensnared in the limited perspectives of this world, lulling them into foolish self-confidence, beguiling them into thinking that their material prosperity has its goal simply in their own rich enjoyment of the good things of life. Those who seek their satisfaction in this world, whether they're wealthy or whether they're struggling, whether they're satisfied or whether they're hungry, whether they're joyful or whether they're grieving, if they seek satisfaction in this world alone, they will not have spiritual humility. They will ultimately suffer. They will miss out on the new life and the eternal life that Jesus offers to all who believe in him. And this also speaks to the cleverness of the evil one, Satan, who's always seeking to maim and kill and destroy, but who's also seeking to distract, to keep men and women from the spiritual humility and dependence that Jesus points to. The enemy wants no one to live into their being blessed. He wants them to not be blessed, or they wants them to forget that they are blessed. Satan wants to keep you distracted, focused on the satisfaction of this world, focused on the latest shiny promises that the world has to offer, and thereby miss out on living as one who's blessed. So, two reminders. First, you need to understand in Christ, you are blessed. And apart from Christ, you are not. There's no fulfillment in this world apart from Jesus Christ. No fulfillment that will last. In Christ alone, you are blessed. Secondly, you need to remember that if you believe in Christ and follow Christ, then you are blessed. That's who you are, period. In Christ, you are forgiven. You are restored in a right relationship with Almighty God, the relationship you were created for. This is the good news. You have a new identity. In Christ, you possess the kingdom of God. You shall be satisfied. You shall be joyful regardless of life here. In Christ, you are the beloved daughter or the beloved son of the King, and he delights in you, not because of what you do, but because of who you are as his beloved. Because you are in Christ, you are delighted in, you are blessed. That's now speaking with those who do believe in Jesus. Do you really believe this? Do you really believe that you are blessed? Well, do you believe that in your head only, or do you also believe it in your heart? And you may wonder, what's the difference? Well, you can believe just in your head. You can intellectually assent to the fact that Jesus is Lord, but you could still live a life that's enslaved to, that's beguiled by the world, steeped in worry and anxiety and fear and anger and shame. The enemy wants to keep you there. You can understand that Jesus is Lord, and you can still be in bondage, enslaved. Too many believers in Jesus, in my opinion, do not live the lives that declare their sound belief in the fact that they are blessed. Daughters and children of the King. Too many followers of Jesus don't walk in the freedom of their blessedness that they own, that is a part of who you are. Now, speaking for myself, there are way too many moments in each day when I forget that I'm blessed and I get lost in my own anxiety or my fear or my unsatisfaction when I compare what I have to what someone else has, or my frustration or my anger or my discontent or my sadness. I need to hear this, and this message gave me hope. This message has challenged me whenever I feel those things to remind myself in those moments, in Christ, I am blessed. And then I say, Lord, help me to live that way. Help me to respond in this situation, not in the flesh, not in bondage of shame or whatever it is, but help me to respond as one who is blessed so that I might reflect you to the world. How is the world going to see Jesus if we're all living no different than those that are enslaved? You, if you are in Christ, you are blessed. You are redeemed. You are free. Even as it's hard. You are blessed even when you're hungry. You are blessed even when you weep. You are blessed even when you are poor or poor in spirit. Because in Christ, you have all that you need. This week, I want to challenge you to do what I've been doing. To once a day, you each have technology, I'm sure, schedule it. Put it on your calendar every day this week. Ask yourself, am I blessed? Or especially at those moments when you suddenly realize you're spiraling downward and you're struggling, ask that question, am I blessed? And as you answer yes, then declare what that means. I am forgiven. I am satisfied. I am possessing God's kingdom now. I am in right relationship with Jesus by his forgiveness. I am empowered by his Holy Spirit. I have the fruit of his Spirit. Whatever comes to mind, name it. And then ask God to reflect his love through you to the world as you live as his blessed one. In Christ, you are the tree that we heard about in Jeremiah 17 and Psalm 1. In Christ, you are a tree planted by streams of living water that sends out its roots by the stream. You do not fear when heat comes, because your leaves always remain green. You are not anxious in the year of drought, for you do not cease to bear fruit. In Christ, you are blessed, and I pray we will live that way to the glory of the King who has redeemed us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.